In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. This second Sunday of Lent, our Holy Mother, the Church, is trying to prepare us to better appreciate this season of Lent. Last week, we saw our Lord led out to the desert to be tempted by the devil, and we saw those three major temptations, and we are to look forward to those as we begin serving God. The devils are not going to leave us alone, but our endeavors this season of Lent are going to be under constant attack. Today, our Lord, our Holy Mother, the Church, is trying to show us that there is a positive aspect to this. And so we see our Lord has taken Peter, James, and his brother John and has gone up a high mountain, and he is transfigured before them. They see the glory of God. The face of Jesus becomes white, his garments like snow. They see Moses and Elias appear, and they are talking with him. And this is something that is glorious, something that is wondrous to behold, and St. Peter is overcome. He doesn't want this to end ever. He said, Lord, if it's okay with you, let me build three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elias. Let's set up camp here. We don't need to go back down the mountain. This is where I want to stay. And at that moment, a cloud overshadows them, and the apostles fall down to on the faces, on the ground, out of fear. But they hear a voice from heaven. God the Father speaks and said, this is my beloved Son, hear him. And when they looked up, they only saw Jesus there. This whole thing was made possible so that these apostles would not lose courage. Because here on this earth, we're stuck in this middle ground. And we want it to be one way or the other. We want to be eternally happy with God in heaven. But here on earth, we want everything to be perfectly the way we want it here on earth. We want paradise here on earth. We want to be like St. Peter and have this vision. Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let's stay here. We don't need to go back to the world where there's all that sickness and crime and sin, all that ugliness. We don't want anything to do with that. Let's stay here where it's beautiful, where it's awesome. We come across that same division in Christ himself. We see his divinity as his face is made white, his garments are white, he shines brilliantly. We see a reflection of his divinity, but then we see his humanity as they go down from the mountain. He appears just like a man. As we approach Holy Week, he's going to appear as a man who suffers terribly, unable to defend himself, unable to call upon all the hosts of angels. But he is not unable. He's unwilling to. He has chosen to be taken. He has chosen to be in prison. He has chosen to suffer these stripes, these abuses. He has freely chosen to be nailed upon the cross. He has chosen all of this to show us that he is a true man. And his entire life, if you look in the bulletin that I printed up for you, I quoted one of the fathers of the church there. He shows you over and over again, and I only gave you a brief example of it there. There was much more. Every aspect, we see the human nature juxtapositioned with his divine nature. One goes with the other. Our life here on earth is this constant juxtaposition of happiness and sorrow, pleasure and pain. We are made with an immortal soul that's united to a temporal body. And we should be reminded of that constantly. And we're given all this example so that we can appreciate the season of Lent appropriately. Yes, our body is suffering and our fasting, our penances, our mortifications, but our soul is rejoicing in what awaits us in heaven, of what God has promised us. And our difficulty is that we become, what is that, the little girl, Pollyanna? We want to have this Pollyanna attitude that, do you know who Pollyanna is? No? It's a pretty interesting movie. You might want to ask your mom to show it to you sometime. Pollyanna was a little girl in a movie. And no matter what happened, she was happy. Everything was good. She saw the good in everything around her. But there's a problem with Pollyanna because it's not real. Sometimes there are some pretty serious problems, and there doesn't appear to be a bright side other than that God is in heaven and God is in charge. We have to take that optimism and bring it back to reality. And I think very often our temptation is not so much Pollyanna or this extreme optimism, but we fall back into pessimism, despair. Oh, gloom and despair, it's hopeless. I'll never get out of this. There can't be a God in heaven. Why could he let this happen? How can I suffer so much? This hurts too much. It's unbearable. And we become very negative. And I say to the extreme optimist, you need to be a little more realistic. And I say to the extreme pessimist, you need to be a little bit more realistic. Everything is not gloom and doom. Christ is both God and man. We have a body and a soul. There is suffering, but there is pleasure. There's pleasure, but there's also suffering. There's a time for rejoicing and a time for weeping. And we should not let either one of them overwhelm us. Virtue is in the middle course. Let us not despair nor presume. But yet be well balanced, especially in this season of Lent. And I can warn you, parents, I would like to encourage your children to embrace a penitential life. I would like to see them make sacrifices, do penance, but they don't need to. They haven't done anything wrong. Well, then they can do penance for you. But I have to balance that because I would tend to get the children over enthusiastic in their penances, and they might just starve themselves to death. Because they have that optimism. They have that willingness. They have that innocence. They have that love. They have that joy in their heart that they're willing to make sacrifices. But I warn parents, don't encourage your children to that extent. Encourage them, but you must also pull back the reins and say it is also a penance for you to eat. And it's okay sometimes to enjoy life, to enjoy the blessings that God has given us, and to have true joy in your heart. It is a balancing act. But I see in children, they are most susceptible. You can encourage them to a great enthusiasm, to a Pollyanna attitude, great optimism. But you can also do great damage by showing them the despair and the gloominess and showing them that everything is dangerous and have them so scared that they're unable to move. So afraid that they will not talk to anyone. It's great if you want your child to hang on your arm all the time. Every time you go out to be holding onto your purse, don't let me go. They're afraid of the world, they're afraid of the society, they're afraid of everything. That's the wrong way. And I say this about parents with their children, but it applies to everyone. We are all children, and we must, mostly as we grow up, learn to regulate ourselves, to hold to that virtuous course in the middle. And this season of Lent, I encourage you, embrace those penances, those mortifications, those sacrifices with true joy in your heart. But don't take them to an illogical extreme. God doesn't want you to destroy your health. The church isn't asking you to kill yourself. The church wants you to do penance, to mortify yourself, to bring your soul into that middle course. Not kill yourself. And very often we embrace penance because of pride, our vanity. So we can say, you see, I fasted for 24 hours. I did a black fast. And I feel wonderful. And why are you telling me this? Do you want a pat on the back? Do you need me to praise you? If so, you're doing this just for your own pride and vanity. Oh, I fasted during Lent, and guess what? I lost 20 pounds. Good for you. Is that why you were fasting? And why do you tell me this? You want a pat on the back again? It's pride and vanity. I would suggest that if you're going to boast of all of this, you want to do a complete fast for 24 hours and boast of it, then I would suggest you should eat a piece of bread within those 24 hours. Maybe you should drink a glass of milk with that bread. Maybe even have a cookie. Not a whole box, just one. And then you won't be allowed to go around and boast because you did eat. And so I'm cautioning you against either extreme. Our penance, our fasting, our mortification isn't so that we can boast and pat ourselves on the back, think that we are better than our neighbor. It is to balance us from becoming presumptuous, to think that we have done something. But this pride seems to sneak its way in no matter what we do. I want you to be enthusiastic about your penances, mortifications, and sacrifices. I really do. I want you to do them with a smile on your face, with joy in your heart. I am doing this for the love of God. This is my gift to God. But I don't want you to boast of it. I don't want your head to swell with pride and vanity. I want you to remind yourself that you are still a sinner. And what you've done is very little to make up for the crimes, for the sins that you've committed. And while you do that, I don't want you to fall into despair either. I want you to have that hope that relying on the mercies of God, the merits of Jesus Christ, combined with the penances that you're doing, that you can merit eternal reward in heaven. Hope versus despair. Extreme optimism versus extreme pessimism. The divinity of Christ is humanity. Our immortal soul, our perishable body. Our life is filled with extremes. But we are to combine both of those together. We are to live not just for our body, nor just for our soul, but for our body and soul. We can't kill the body and think we're doing good for the soul. Because God has commanded, thou shalt not kill. But yet we can't overindulge the body and let the soul die. Because the soul is eternal. We don't want the soul to go to hell. And this season of Lent, our Holy Mother the Church is showing us Christ in his suffering as he went out into the desert to be tempted. Those three temptations that came upon him. And next to that, today she shows us Christ on the mountain. He is shining glorious as God. It is a wonderful place to be. Joy is filling the hearts of these apostles, and they don't want to leave it. But Christ says, we must go down the mountain. All that I've told you about me and Jerusalem is going to happen. I'm going to be handed over to the Gentiles. I'm going to be falsely accused. I'm going to be scourged. I'm going to be nailed to the cross. I'm going to die. But don't worry. Don't focus on all the negative. It's there. Mourn with me. Come and share in my sorrow, in my pain. But don't fall into despair, because on the third day I will rise again from the dead. Glorious. And so we too, no matter what is going on in our lives, must see that if we love God, everything will work out for our good. There will be a resurrection after the death. There will be feasting after the fast. There will be joy after the sorrow. But we need to take them together, hand in hand, and not let our joy get out of bounds, our enthusiasm get to one extreme or the other. And we must avoid the gloomy, the despair, the pessimism. Find a happy, harmonious medium and hold on to that. And then you will find peace for your soul, a peace that isn't carried away with a false enthusiasm, or a peace that isn't destroyed by the least ill wind that blows your way, but a peace that is calm, stable, unwavering. That is the peace that Christ has come to bring us. This is the peace where our Holy Mother the Church is trying to give us. This season of Lent is a time for us to find that peace, to find that consolation, to find that balance and hold on to it. Benedictio Dei Omnipotentis, Patris, Filii, et Spiritus Sancti descendit super vos, et maniat semper. Amen.